Okay, the reading this morning is taken from Philippians 1 and Philippians 2. Can be found on pages 1113 of your church Bible. We're starting at chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together with one accord for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And now we move to chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and will rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Thanks be to God for his word.
Good morning. Our passage today is actually from Philippians 2, 12 to 18. However, I asked that the chapter 1, verses 27 to 30 was read because Paul is referring back to that passage which begins, live a life worthy of the gospel, in a manner worthy of the gospel. So they won't be frightened, they will stand firm in the gospel, they will strive together, side by side in the gospel, and they will not be frightened by the opposition, and this is a sign of your salvation. Now that's in chapter 1, 27 and 28. Paul returns now to the theme of salvation. This salvation that has been given to the Philippians, and has been given to us, of course, that they must work out that salvation, which we find in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his purpose. Now, we've got to be very clear about this. Paul is not saying work at your salvation, earn your salvation. That's one thing that the text can't mean. You can't earn your salvation. It has been given as a free gift. And this is the very, very important point. If you don't take anything away from the sermon this morning, take this away. You can't earn your salvation. God gives you salvation as a free gift, gratuitous love, totally gratuitous love. It's totally free and cannot be earned. I can't emphasize that enough. When I was a youth pastor in the United States, I used to bash on about this all the time because the culture was saying to them all the time, be good, earn it. No, you can't. This is a free gift of God. It's scandalous grace. However, Paul does say in this passage in Philippians, work out your faith in fear and trembling. Work it out. And I was trying to think of a way of explaining this. And as I wrote, you know, work it out. We can work it out. That Beatles song, you know, we can resolve it. We can work out the consequences of this relationship, of course, in the song. But this is what we've got to work out. What God has worked in us. work out the consequences of your salvation. So this is how it links back to live a life worthy of the gospel in chapter 1, verse 27. Work out what God himself has worked in. Salvation belongs to God. That's not a song that we sing. That's Revelation 7, verse 10. Salvation belongs to God. God is the Saviour. God is the one who works salvation. And they sing, don't they? Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That great hymn in Revelation 7. Work out the consequences of what it means to be saved by God. And this makes sense, really, doesn't it? With fear and trembling. Now, sometimes you kind of read, with fear and trembling. You know, I said this is a gift of God. It's by grace. It's scandalous grace. Why with fear and trembling? Well, Proverbs tells us, doesn't it, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That fear, and thank you, Elaine, for picking those two songs as we're singing them. I'm just the awesome God, this great and majestic God who we worship. And maybe it's because I'm a grumpy old man, but I feel sometimes in our contemporary Christianity that we are rather kind of, Jesus is my buddy. You know, I fling my arms around him. It's lovely to see you. No, you know, this is God who we're talking about. I think C.S. Lewis hits it right on the head in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Great theology in Narnia stories. The four kids have gone to visit Mr. Beaver and Mrs. Beaver, and they're talking about Aslan. And Mr. Beaver says, Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, and no mistake, said Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly. Then isn't he safe? Says Lucy. Safe? Said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He is the king, I tell you. That, for me, hits it. We have a great God who just is not safe. He's good, but he's not safe. Fear and trembling. We have been given this great salvation, says the writer to the Hebrews. What are we going to do with this great salvation? Let me illustrate this with a different type of illustration. Not being a great royalist, it's a bit of a strange thing for me to be giving this illustration, but when Prince William got engaged to Kate Middleton, he gave her the engagement ring. And do you remember that engagement ring? Who it belonged to? It belonged to Diana, his mother. And I remember the reporter saying, as he interviewed them, well, she better be careful with that, won't she? And William said, yeah, she better. Because the giver of that gift was a special person, William. And that gift was a great gift. The engagement ring of Princess Diana. Now, I guess that Kate Middleton, when she walks around... No, she's not Kate Middleton. I can't remember what she's called now. Duchess of Cambridge, I think. When she walks around, she must walk around with a little bit of fear and trembling with that ring on her. Now, rank that up an infinite number of times and think about it in terms of the salvation that we have been given in Jesus Christ. God... The rather, it ain't Jose Mourinho's the special one, the special one, God, has given us this gift of salvation that has cost the life of Jesus Christ. Say it again. God, the special one, has given us a gift so precious of salvation that cost the life of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be like the man who was given the one talent, who buried it in a field and did nothing with it? If we do nothing with this great salvation, what are we saying about this salvation? What are we saying about Jesus Christ? What are we saying about God? This gift of salvation given by God himself at the price of the death of Christ is something of such ultimate preciousness that we should work it out, yes, with fear and trembling. Because we stand before that awesome God in awe. I don't know if you know, but today is Trinity Sunday. And I really was tempted to throw out this sermon and preach on the Trinity instead. But we stand in front of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's given us a gift more precious than silver and gold. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And verse 13 clarifies it, doesn't it? Because God is working in you both to will and to do. In chapter 1, it says this is your unity is a sign of your salvation that is from God. This salvation is from God. And God is both working in us, both to will and to do. In other words, to make us want to work out this salvation, God is working in us, working in our will, but also giving us the power to work out that salvation. So it's not God says, here's the gift, off you go, work it out. That God is alongside us by the power of his Holy Spirit, working in us both to will, to want to, and to do. He reminds us of the cost of that salvation. That's why we want to obey God, because we love him. Look what he's done for us, that second song that we sang. Look what he's done in Christ. He gave up his only son in order that we might have this salvation. Now, that, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to obey God, to live a life worthy of our calling. It makes me want to work out my salvation, because it cost so much for God to save us. It cost him everything. I want to change the words of the song that says, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. I want to change it to, I'll never know how much it costs to bear my sin upon the cross. I will never know what Jesus Christ faced in the garden as he looked towards, he'd seen people crucified before, but he knew more than that. He knew he was going to take the weight of the world's sin upon his shoulders. He makes us want to obey him by reminding us of what it costs. But he also not only works in us both to will, but also to do. Because frankly, it's not possible for a human being to work out this great salvation. I'm not capable of it, and I'm pretty sure you're not capable of it either. But because God works in us to do, that is, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do it. In Romans, Paul says there's nothing you can do to earn God's salvation. Everybody's locked up under sin. But God offers us this salvation. And now we are able, being released from the slavery of sin, we are able to live in a life that is worthy of the gospel. We are able to do it because of the Holy Spirit. God gave us this gift through Jesus Christ's death and through the work of the Holy Spirit. We are able to work out that salvation. I had to work in the Trinity somewhere there. That is God, the Godhead, working towards this purpose. And because it says, doesn't it, both to will and to do for his purpose. This is not just because God wants us to obey him. You know, I remember I was a rebellious child. If you know me, you might sort of know that. But because I tell you so was not a good answer to the question why for me. And God doesn't want us to obey him simply because you've got to, because he has a purpose for us. We are part of his purposes. And I was asked one time by a student, you know, what is the thing about being a Christian that really makes sense? And I said, purpose. I need purpose in my life. I'm not simply a person who is born, lives out a meaningless existence and then dies and makes no ripples on the fabric of history. That's what people who don't know Jesus Christ think. They'll live, they'll die. That's it. But we work out this salvation for his purposes. And I'll come back to that in a minute. This is the true revolution. To work out our salvation in fear and trembling, because it is he who works in us both to will and to do for his purposes. This is the Christ revolution. Russell Brand knows nothing about what revolution is. This is the true revolution. Now that's verses 12 and 13. Verses 14 to 18 is what my granddad would have called getting down to brass tacks. That wasn't a very good Geordie accent, but anyway. Getting really, really practical. Paul says in verse 14, do this without grumbling or arguing. It's just like all this work out your salvation and fear and trembling, because it's the Lord who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And don't moan about it either. It's just like, I love, the Apostle Paul was a great theologian, but he was down to earth. And we all know this kind of person, and we have been it, and I have been it. Been it? I have been that person who kind of, I'll do this, I'll work for this, I'll clear up, don't worry, I'll do this, I'll do that, and nobody notices. And you end up kind of going, if you want a job done properly, you have to do it yourself. And we do it without joy. And we do it because we have to, not because it is working out this wonderful salvation that God has given us. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't he? Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. But do it without grumbling. Do it with... What's the word that appears most in Philippians? Joy. Joyfully working this out. And he says, this will make you blameless and pure. Being blameless and pure is not prissy. It's not being blameless and pure. This is working with joy for Jesus Christ, who hung between heaven and earth because of us. And it does it without, and we're supposed to do it without looking for fame. And we just last week looked at, he did not count equality with God a reason for grasping onto glory, but gave himself up. This is such an incredible countercultural way of living, isn't it? In our generation that loves the celebrity and wants recognition for everything, we are to do this without recognition, like our Lord Jesus Christ, but joyfully. And in that way, we will shine like stars. Shining like lights in the dark sky. I don't know, around here we're too close to the smoke in London to see the stars. But I have been in the middle of nowhere in Argentina, looked up, and we saw the Milky Way. It is astounding. Shining like stars in a dark world. And again, Jesus says, and you are the light of the world. This is where, this is the reason, this is God's purpose for us. Why we should work out our salvation in fear and trembling, in a joyful way, blameless and pure, is to shine in a dark world. This is where our mission is so important. We are to be shining lights. That's what living a life worthy of the gospel means. That's what working out our salvation means. That's doing it without grumbling means, is that we shine like lights in a dark world. But how? Again, I said through the Holy Spirit, obviously. But also Paul says here in verse 16, holding fast to the word of life. Now I think the word there should be capitalized. Because I think it's not talking about the Bible, it's talking about Jesus Christ, who is the word of God. Holding fast to the word. No, Jesus says in his prayer, doesn't he, in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, if we truly want to know God, that Trinitarian God, that awesome, marvelous, mighty God who has given us this precious salvation, this comes through obedience to him. Working out our salvation in fear and trembling. Doing it without grumbling. That is how we know God. Remember who Paul's saying this to. The Philippian church. Acts 16. You can go back and look at the Philippian church. Not a spectacular church, really. But people who had to shine like stars in that Roman colony in Philippi. And this is the challenge for us, isn't it? Massive challenge to work out that salvation. Because God's worked in us, both to will and to do. And verse 17 and 18, Paul just returns once again that this will give him joy. It gives him joy when he sees people who he has witnessed to work out their salvation. Obeying God. Not because Paul's there, but even in his absence. That's the joy. And this joy bubbles up. This prisoner, this jailbird, Paul, is full of joy when he sees people working out that salvation. So, what does it mean for us? Well, first of all, and very importantly, you can't work at your salvation. You can only be given it. And we can only receive it. But if you have received that salvation, the terrible challenge and the terrible responsibility is to work out what that means. What does it mean for me here and now, but more importantly, there and tomorrow? What does it mean on a Monday morning to work out our salvation in fear and trembling? Because we will then become lights in a dark world, directing people to the salvation that God has given us, that marvellous salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's God's purpose. That is his purpose, to save the nations. And he's doing it through ordinary human beings working out that salvation that he has worked in. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do bless you and thank you. You are the God of all creation. You are the God of our salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for coming to this world, dying for us, that we may be able to receive that salvation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in us, both to will and to do, for your good pleasure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you today with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.